Okay, Parshas Nitzavim. We begin as we are really towards the end of all of Chumash. Moshe here delivers one of the most beautiful speeches towards the end of his life in Parshas Nitzavim. Let's take a look at one aspect of that. And I want to particularly highlight the concept as we are really getting ready. We're in Slichos now already. Rosh Hashanah coming up, Yom Kippur. The idea of sin, of Avera, of the Yetzer Hara, this inclination that we have towards sin, and a goal or objective that we hope to arrive at in the days to come, different terms for that, Olam Haba, Yemos HaMashiach, whatever we'll refer to them as we'll see. Let's take a look at some of these psukim, and particularly some of the comments of the Ramban on these psukim. Let's begin, let's learn. The pasuk says as follows, beginning a parak lamed on the screen in front of you, V'hayoki abo lach kol ha'dvarim ha'ela, ha'bracha ve'haklala asher nasati lefanach. All of these things will come upon you. We've been discussing in the previous two parshios, we've covered, as Moshe has gathered the people together, he's literally in his last few weeks, and he's told them about how they're going to go into the land of Israel. They're going to gather together on Har Gerizim and Har Ebal. We discussed last week. They're going to receive all of these blessings and curses. They're going to say, Amen. We accept upon ourselves the blessings and accept upon ourselves the curses. And then Moshe lists 98 psukim, which you read in last week's parasha, the Teichucha, or the admonition, terrible calamities which will befall the Jewish people if they don't observe the Torah, the great things that will happen if we do. And Moshe now sums it up and says, okay, it's going to happen. Kiyavo alecha, all of these things, you'll experience the blessings when things are good, and you'll experience these terrible tragedies. As the Ramban describes, says this is the era that we are in right now of exile. And eventually, v'hashivosa el levavecha. I apologize, I just realized everything was pretty small. You probably couldn't see that. There we go. V'hashivosa levavecha b'chol hagoyim asher hidachacha Hashem elokecha shama. But amongst the nations that you'll be dispersed to, amongst the lands, amongst the exile, the time will come, v'hashivosa el levavecha. You will take to heart all of these things that we've just been discussing. And then what will happen when you take to heart that which we've been discussing? So Moshe says, Vishavta ad Hashem Elokecha Vishamata Bikolo. You'll return to Hashem, your God, and listen to his voice. Kuchal Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom, like all that I've commanded you. Ata Uvanecha, you together with your children, Bechol Leva, Bechol, Bechol Nashecha, just like I have commanded you today. You'll come back with all of your heart, all of your soul. And Moshe adds this beautiful phrase, you and your children. You know, sometimes a generation can be inspired, but if it doesn't then pass down to the next generation, it's very nice that the parents or the grandparents are all into coming to shul and davening and learning. But the blessing is that it should continue. So Moshe says, that's what's going to happen. You're going to see not just you, but you and your children as well will all be inspired. Vishav, and now that you've come back, what's going to happen? Pasuk Gimel says Moshe, Vishav, Hashem Elokecha, Shivusacha, V'richamecha. Hashem will restore you. He'll bring you back. He'll bring back from all of your captivity. V'richamecha, he will have mercy on you. V'kibetzcha mikol ho'amim, asher hefitzecha, Hashem Elokecha, Shama, and he will gather you together from all of the lands that he has dispersed you. One more plus thing, we'll go back and talk about this a little bit. Im yihyeni dachacha v'kseh ha-shamayim. I think we spoke about this pasuk last year. It's a beautiful pasuk. If you're outcast, those who've been pushed aside, pushed away, dispersed, are in the ends of the heavens. Misham yikabetzcha. He'll take you from there. Umisham yikachacha. That's where he will grab you from. When Hashem brings us back home, one more pasuk. I'm sorry, I thought we were going to go back. I need to do one more. V'aviyacha, Hashem Elokecha. The psukim are just so beautiful. Like, you don't need to say anything. You just read the psukim. V'aviyacha, Hashem Elokecha, El Ha'aretz, Asher Yoshua, Vosecha, V'rishta. He's going to bring you back to the land that your fathers had originally inherited, and now you will inherit and possess it. V'hitivcha, V'hirbcha, Me'avosecha. He will make you numerous, even more numerous than your fathers were. And this is these are the beautiful psukim of describing that you'll be in the exile, you will experience all these terrible calamities, and you'll take it to heart, you will return, and when you return, then Hashem will gather you all together. We've spoken about it in past years, I just want to briefly mention, we're not going to talk about it this year, on this pasuk of Vishov Hashem Elokecha, that Hashem will return you. Rashi points out that the grammar sounds like Vishov, that Hashem will return. And Rashi here comments the idea that when we are in exile, Hashem is in exile with us, and he too so to speak, needs to return from the exile. This is one of, I mentioned this not just because it's right before Rosh Hashanah, one of the major themes of Rosh Hashanah, of all the davenings in the Machzor, is we daven for Hashem's Malchus, His kingship to be restored. Not just that we should have a good year, not just that we should return to Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, but that you, Hashem, your presence is locked up here in exile with us, and that pains us, not just for our sake, but for your sake, and we want to see the fulfillment of that idea of you returning, your presence being revealed to the world. Yimloch Hashem li'olam, you should be a king to the whole world, v'hofa v'hadar ga'on uzecha, your glory be spread out and revealed to all, and v'yasechulam aguda achas, let the entire world become one unit in declaring your kingship. So this idea that Rashi comments on this pasuk of this week's parsha, that not just does the pasuk mean that Hashem will return to you, but that He, so to speak, will return as well. Rashi also comments that it's going to be so hard for Hashem to bring us back to the land. It's going to be, so to speak, like He takes each one of us one at a time in the hand and says, come, come, come. It's time to go home. It's time to come back. And literally one at a time, it's going to be such a struggle for us to return to the land, Rashi says. He's literally going to come and go and come and go, taking us one at a time, bringing us home. Go back to exile again. I got another family to go back. I got another family. Slowly, 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 He'll return us all to the land. Okay, this all describes what we've read so far. We'll be inspired. We'll return. Hashem will gather us from the four corners of the earth, wherever we may be. Hashem will take us back to the land that has been once inherited by our fathers, and now we will take it over and become even more numerous, more prosperous than they were. And then Moshe adds the following: Umol Hashem Elokecha es levav chov yes levav zarecha. Now the word mol here you see translated in a interesting way. The English in front of you says that God will open up your heart, but that's not what the word mol means. Mol comes from the word mila, like a bris mila, which means to circumcise or to cut away, which then would really mean umol Hashem Elokechas levav chov yes levav zarach. Hashem will circumcise your heart, somehow cut away something from your heart and the heart of your children, li'ahavas Hashem Elokecha, so that you can love Hashem your God b'chol levav b'chol nafshecha l'man Chayecha. What does that mean? What is the idea that Hashem will circumcise, so to speak, your heart? What does a heart need a circumcision from, that it would have to be cut in order that we love Hashem? Furthermore, the Ramban asks, we'll use his question as a springboard for our discussion, where are we up to in the progression of the psukim? What has happened so far? We've been exiled. We suffered. We had blessings and curses. We came. We took it to heart. And v'shav ad Hashem Elokecha, we returned. You and your children to follow after Hashem and His ways. We did. We returned. Not only did we return, then the pasuk said Hashem is going to bring you back to the land of it. We've done all that. So whatever this language is that the heart needs to be circumcised, I would have thought by this point, like, what a great tshuva job we did. The Jewish people have returned, have come home. What's left that needs to be done that Hashem would now circumcise our heart? The Ramban uses this pasuk to launch into a major, major discussion, which I'd like to share with you today, on this concept of the circumcision of the heart. And the Ramban writes and starts as follows. First thing that he says is that this is actually a reflection of what the Talmud says, Ba'litaher misayino. So he who comes to purify himself, they help him in or from heaven. Meaning, the Gemara says and uses this in a bunch of different contexts, when we down here in this world take the first step and say, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to become, this is what I want to accomplish, misayino. So they aid us. There's a help that's given from heaven, so to speak, that somebody else who might not have done anything, the two people could be standing next to each other, but one doesn't have a desire to change and one does. The one who has the desire to change gets divine help. The Ramban says that's reflected in this pasuk of you'll return and then Hashem will circumcise your heart. But I returned already. You know, it's never a full process, but the fact that that's what you want, the fact that that's what you're moving towards and that's your goal, I'll help you out. More than that, says the Ramban, this idea, what then is the type of aid, what is the circumcision of the heart? The Ramban says as follows, it is yadua, it is well known, kimina bria, from the creation of heaven and earth, and more particularly the creation of mankind, hayar rishus biyad ha'adam la'asos kirtzono. Every human being has the free will to choose to act as they see fit. We can choose, says the Ramban, tzedek or resha. You want to be a tzaddik, you want to be righteous, you want to be moral, ethical, do the right thing, help someone else, the choice is yours. You want to be evil, you want to be wicked, you want to just do wrong things and be harmful to others, the choice is yours. There's no one dictating how a person chooses to behave. Human beings have what we refer to as free will. V'kol zman ha-Torah kein. Ramban says, and this is the way the world functions during the era known as the era of Torah. He's referring to the sages who describe the world as being broken down into different sections of 2,000 years. It's 2,000, 2,000, and 2,000. We're in the end of the third set of 2,000 years, the end of the 6,000th year, which will lead into the 7,000th year, which is the year of the Yemosa Mashiach, the era of Mashiach. And says the Ramban, during the era that we're in right now, that principle dictates life. Your free will, do what you want to do. Choose to be a tzaddik, choose to be a rasha. And the result of that, of course, is Yielem Zchus B'vchiras HaMatov. Every time we choose good, every time we choose ethics, morality, to do something appropriate versus not, we receive reward. That's how it works. Every time we choose poorly, there's a punishment. Whether the punishment is in this world or the next world, that's beyond our ability to understand how that works. But the concept that our actions leads to a response for good, for not good, that's the principle upon which the world stands, says the Ramban, and that is well known. I'm sure I have not said anything that you are not all very intimately familiar with. Aval, however, says the Ramban, b'yemosa Mashiach, during the era that we yearn for, the era of Mashiach, tihiyeh ha-bechiro betov lahem teva. The idea of choosing good will become for us natural. That will be our default natural position to choose good. Lo yisave halev lemasheino roi v'lo cheftzo bo klal. The heart will not desire, it will not yearn for, it will not be interested in that which is not fit for it, and will have no interest in it at all. That is a pillar of a concept that the Ramban is now introducing that says where we live the now, the way we live now, we have desires for things that we shouldn't have. We know that. I like using that. I've used the same example 1,000 times, but it just gets the conversation started. There are seriously unhealthy foods out there in the world, and I won't list them by name. We all know what they are. They taste geschmack, and they're terrible for us. We know that they're terrible for us. I can't remember the study. You know that Cinnabon? There's like a chain of restaurants. Like one Cinnabon has more fat than a human being should consume in a week. In one like bun, I forget the exact numbers, but it's like, it's terrible for you. But it's so good, and people want it. So we live in a world right now, that's the world we live in which I know this is bad for me, but I want it, and I choose to do it. And I say to myself, I'll deal with the consequences later, but it's so good. Now again, I use that as a simple example because it affects all of us, and it's not so offensive. There are thousands of other examples of that in which there are behaviors, paths of life that we choose to go down or not to go down that we know are bad for us, spiritually speaking, but they're good. We like it. It's enjoyable, whatever the case may be. That's the world we live in. The Ramban says the world that we will live in, the world of Mashiach, does not have within our being a desire for bad things for us, spiritually bad or physically bad for us. We simply do not have the desire. As an example, today, if any of you have had the great privilege of being in a kitchen where food was being prepared, so there was an oven on or a stovetop with a fire or an electric stove, whatever the case may be, Every human being in a kitchen in that circumstance has the free will to place their hand on top of the element when it is red hot and burn themselves. Yes, you have free will, you could do that. Do you know anybody who has? We have like a diagnosis for that. It's very rare. You've probably never really been tempted to hold on to the red hot element. Why not? You can. The answer is simple. The element of pain is so clear. So great is the long-term impact in our minds of what would happen if we burnt ourselves by putting a hand in a fire or on a red-hot element of a stovetop. We don't desire to do it. And if a person even has the thought of, I wonder what that would be like, our rational being quashes that pretty quickly and doesn't let us experiment in things that we know to be supremely painful and long-term damaging. So we can, but we're not really tempted to do so. Says the Ramban, we will one day live in a world in which in our spiritual existence, the things that are harmful to us will be that clear. That Lashon Hara that you want to say, terrible idea. You'll have no desire to say it. You'll have no desire to miss or do certain inappropriate behaviors or not to do the behavior. These are the good things. Person who has an opportunity to put on a pair of tzitzis and earn eternity. It's so easy. Put on a pair of tefillin. Does everybody, it will be so clear. Like, why would you not do that? Everybody will take care of all of those things. And it won't be the struggle that we have today. It'll simply be our teva. It'll be our natural concept. Vihi hamila. This idea is the concept of the circumcision of the heart. The heart right now has something extra. That extra component is what drives us, what clouds our vision as to what's good and what's not good. And that is the idea of being circumcised in the heart. Ki achemda v'hataiva arlo belev. That extra force in, so to speak, of the heart is desire, is lust, is craving. And the concept is the heart will be circumcised. Yashuv ha'adam bizman hahu. We will return during that era of Mashiach. La'asher haya kodem cheto shel Adam harishon. We will return to the nature of Adam harishon before his sin. Who didn't have an internal desire to do as the Ramban says, I explained in Bereishis. Back to Sefer Bereishis, the Ramban explains this concept. The Eitz HaDa'as Tov Vira. This is really a much longer discussion. What is the Eitz HaDa'as Tov Vira that Hashem told Adam not to eat from? So the Ramban, when he writes here, which is explained by many of the other later commentators, the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the Rav Eliyahu Dessler discusses this concept, and many others. In the world of Adam HaRishon prior to sin, it was a world of emes and sheker, of truth and falsehood. That's how he saw the world. Is this emes? Is this truth? Or is it false? And that's a pretty clear distinction between that which is true and false. Eating of the Eitz HaDa'as brought into him, into his physical being, his spiritual being, the Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'ra, good and bad. Good and bad are not objective realities like truth and falsehood is. In our world today, I know what you're thinking. Even in our world, everybody argues about truth and falsehood too. But technically speaking, truth and falsehood should be objective. Good and bad are subjective. The world of good and bad, what's good for me is bad for you. It's bad. I could say broccoli is good. I could say broccoli is bad. Broccoli is good in the sense of nutritionally, broccoli is good. Broccoli is bad in terms of maybe how it tastes to a 7-year-old. I could say ice cream is good. Ice cream taste. Good and bad is totally subjective. And that's what happened to Adam HaRishon when he ate from the Eitz HaDa'as Tov V'ra, the desire of good and bad. And now we live in that world post Adam HaRishon. We live in a world in which from within our own being, it's hard to decipher that which is true and that which is false. We don't live in a world of MS and Sheker. We live in this world of Tov and Ra. We live in a world of good and bad. And it's complicated. We sometimes confuse that which is good and that which is bad. And that's the world we live in. The world we will get to is a world of clarity. A couple of points. A couple of points as the Ramban discusses. This idea is encompassed by what the sages refer to as the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is the idea which refers to this essence that when Adam HaRishon eats from the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra, that it turned into us has a concept of a desire for things that are not good for us. We want it. We enjoy it. And it's really hard not to, or to hold ourselves back from those things. Just a few days ago in Daf Yomi, Masechta Sukkah, the Gemara had a long discussion of this concept of a Yetzer Hara. I just want to share some of the Gemaras because it's a fascinating concept, especially as we're in El leading right into Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says that in the end of days, and the Ramban, and our Ramban understands this to mean in the Yemos HaMashiach, that Hashem will shecht the Yetzer Hara. This part of this idea of that he'll circumcise our hearts and he'll shecht the Yetzer Hara. What the Gemara says is fascinating, is he's going to do so, the Gemara says, specifically in front of both Bifnei HaTzadikim uBifnei HaRishayim. He's going to slaughter the Yetzer Hara in front of the righteous and in front of the wicked. Tzadikim boichim uRishayim boichim. And they're both going to cry. The tzaddikim are going to cry, and the rishayim are going to cry when the Yetzer Hara is shechted. Says the Gemara, why should that be? To the tzaddikim, as the Yetzer Hara is slaughtered, nidme lahem kehar gavoa. The tzaddikim are going to see this Yetzer Hara as this massive mountain in front of them. The rishayim are going to see the Yetzer Hara. It's going to look like a thin little thread, like a spider web type of a string, a nothing. And they both cry. The tzaddikim cry because they say, how is it possible? This is what we were up against. Oh, we remember all the difficulties and all the struggles. This was such an impossible test. Look at this massive mountain that the Yetzer Hara was. And the Rishayim are going to cry. They're going to say, that's all it was? This little string in front of the ground that I could easily have stepped over? That's what tripped me up all these years? That's why I messed up and stumbled and fell? They both cry, says the Gemara, when they see the way that it's going to, the Yetzer Hara is going to be. Another Gemara, the Gemara says, the Gemara tells the story of Abaye, that the Gemara says, the Yetzer Hara, kol yom v'yom misgabir al ha'adam. Every day it strengthens itself against a person. Every day it renews itself against a person. So the Gemara tells the story of Abaye, that Abaye saw, by the great sage of the Gemara, a young man and a young woman went for a walk together, and they went off to walk in a secluded area. So Abaye said to himself, Abaye, something terrible is going to happen. I need to run after them to separate them from doing anything forbidden. So he runs after them. The Gemara says he pursues them for three parcels, a long distance. And he, after being right behind them and following after this entire time, they get to a certain crossroads and they take leave of each other. The young guy says to the young girl, thank you so much for the walk. I had such a lovely time. You're going in your way. I'm going in my way. Look forward to meeting up again. And they go, they don't separate. Nothing happened, nothing illicit, no problems. Abaye leans up against a tree and he starts to cry and he says, I don't understand, I can't believe it. If I would have been that guy, no way do I escape without sin. I would have for sure done something terrible. I can't believe he was a regular guy. I ran after him to stop him. Nothing happened. He just went for a walk with this young lady. So Abaye was distraught that he himself felt he would have never been able to withstand that test. One of the Gemara says, one of the Zakenim, one of the elders of the town, stumbles across Abaye and sees him, tells him what happens, and he said, Abaye, don't you know, there's a teaching that says, Kol Hagodol Mechavero, everyone who is, anyone who, as a person becomes greater, Yitzro Gadol Himeno, his Yetzer Hara grows with the greatness that he achieves. Meaning to say, the Yetzer Hara's goal is to challenge us. Just like a person working out with weights, as soon as you get good at a certain level of lifting weights, if you continue to lift that same amount of weight, you're not going to grow. You're not going to build any more muscle. Every time you get stronger, you need to put more weight on the bars in order to continue pushing yourself forward. Says this elder to Abaye, Abaye, don't understand, the Yetzer Hara is the same way. There's no such thing as beating the Yetzer Hara. There's no such thing as saying, I'm done. It's always commensurate with however great you become as a person, whatever challenges you succeed in and overcome. Tomorrow you'll have a new one that'll be even harder. Because as you grow, your Yetzirah has to be right there with you along the way, pushing you forward, tempting us, forcing us to grow, forcing us to pay attention. And so you, Abai, looked at this guy and said, I would have never, it's true. Had you been in your position in that situation, you never would have made it. But that guy's Yetzirah doesn't affect him in such a way. He was fine. He didn't have anything. No, he wanted to walk with a young lady. It's not a problem. And it's true that you can't imagine having done that. It's another Gemara. I think it's a very important Gemara and many others. We've spoken about this before. Just the idea, you know, we human beings, when we see other people, whether they be Jews in our community or people in the news, mess up in certain ways that they generally find embarrassing because that's why they're in the newspapers. And often we say like, can't believe somebody would do something like that. And it's true. Maybe we can't believe that somebody would do something like that. But nobody knows somebody else's Yetzirah. And it's true. For us looking at that situation would have been like, I can't believe it. Like, who would do such a thing? Just like Abaye himself said, had I been in that situation, I wouldn't have been able. And that person was there. Every person looks at somebody else. And it's true. Maybe for you, it wouldn't have been a big deal. Maybe you would have been fine and you wouldn't have stumbled in such a way. But every person upon whom you're saying that, guess what? If they would know what's going on in your life, might say the same thing. It's the way it goes. We have different Yetzirahs. The Yetzirah is always there, the Gemara says, every day getting stronger and renewing its efforts against us. And that's our responsibility, is to recognize that just because we have a particular Yetzirah doesn't mean that everybody else does in the exact same way as well. In any case, this is what the Ramban says is going to be when we return to, it sounds like from the Ramban's understanding of these psukim to the third building of the Beis HaMikdash, redemption, that Hashem will shecht this Yetzirah, molas levavein, or circumcise our heart, and we will no longer have that desire. Couple of points that come out from this. Number one, says the Ramban, there is a consequence to that. And this here, the Ramban takes sides on a Talmudic dispute, but he is very clear on his particular understanding. As I mentioned earlier from the Ramban, what gives us schar and onesh, what gives us reward and punishment, is the struggle, the battle that we have within ourselves to choose good, to choose to use our time wisely, productively, to be moral and ethical, and all the things that we have to choose to do. Says the Ramban, well, then what's going to happen if in the end Hashem is going to, so to speak, circumcise our hearts? He's going to slaughter the Yetzirah in front of the righteous and in front of the wicked. What happens to Schar and Onesh? What happens to the challenge? What happens to the free will that we have? How exactly will that play itself out? Says the Ramban, a very important idea, that this is the Pasuk in Koheles. The Pasuk says, Vihigiu Shanim, there'll be years that will come. Asher tomar, that will come, ein li behem chepetz, I have no desire. Simple meaning of the pasuk, I believe, is as a person ages and we become older, we lose the same desire that we had when we were younger. So years will come, is the simple meaning of the pasuk, and a person will say, I don't have the desire anymore. Which is parenthetically why the Gemara says, Ashrei mi, praiseworthy is he who does tshuva when he's young, when he has all of his desires and his temptations. But we should all do tshuva when we're old too. But there's a difference as the way of the world. As we age, we lose certain yearnings, desires, and lusts that we have when we're younger. But the Gemara darshins, the Gemara explains this pasuk. The years will come where I have no desire does not just refer to a person as he ages. It refers to Elu Yemosa Mashiach, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos. This refers to the days when Mashiach will come, where there is no desire. There's no desire for sin. And as the Gemara says, Ein bahem lo zchus v'lo chova. There won't be the same type of reward and punishment. Ki bimei ha-Mashiach. In the days of Mashiach, lo yeh ba'odam chepetz. We will not have lust and desire in the same way that we do now. Aval yase b'tirvo ha-masa ha-huha. We will do naturally. Like, we don't put our hands in fire. We won't be desirous of things that are bad for us spiritually in the world to come as well. And therefore, since reward and punishment is very much tied into the struggle to choose, there will be a significant decrease in that in the days of Mashiach. That is a very significant statement, in that the yearning of the perfection of the world, in the same way that when Adam Arishon ate from the fruit, there was a consequence in which the whole world shifted in terms of the way the human being relates to the world around us. It will be similarly true in the Yemosa Mashiach. I want to point out one thing as well. when the Ramban discusses the Imos of Mashiach, there's a lot of discussion of the different eras that will be ushered in. There's going to be an era in which the Jews return to Eretz Yisrael. Will we build the third Beis HaMikdash? There's an era of Tchias HaMesim when those who have died will be brought back to life. Which era exactly is the Ramban referring to? That is a whole separate discussion. We'll just for now leave it as there will be a time to come in which the world will function with such clarity of Hashem as whom Melech, Moloch, V'Yimloch, V'Olam V'Ed. There'll be such clarity that the desire for sin, it's like our hearts will be circumcised. It's like obvious to do the right thing. The consequence of that, reward and punishment is shifted. This leads to a question, which I'm just going to comment on. I'm not going to discuss much at length. It's much bigger than the time that we have today and requires much more preparation and time to lay it out. What then was Adam HaRishon's thinking in his sin? If Adam HaRishon lived in an era like this, in which the desire and temptation was not part of human being the way that it is now. It was a world of emes and sheker, of truth and falsehood. And it was only when he ate from the tree of da'as tov v'ra, knowledge of good and evil, that we are into the world that we're familiar with, and we're yearning to get back out of it. How do we understand his decision to sin if it's like putting a hand in a fire to us today? What was really going on with that sin? This question is addressed by many of the greats. In addition, the question of, well, and if, however we answer that, if Adam can sin, maybe in the Yemos HaMashiach, we also can then revert back to a world filled with sin, just like he did. And those are some of the interesting questions which are addressed on this particular issue. But what I wanted to share, and really just do a few more psukim, is the progression that Moshe here describes a few weeks from his death to the Jewish people of, you'll experience all of these terrible things. You'll return to Hashem. He'll bring you back to the land. He will then circumcise your heart, in which you will have such clarity, such moral clarity as to how to behave. And then, all of your enemies will absorb these terrible things which you have had to sustain until now. You will again listen to the words of Hashem. Hayom, you will listen and Hashem will make abundant all of your handiwork, the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your animals, the fruit of your land. Everything will be good. Ki yashuv Hashem lasus alecha litov kasher sas al avosach. Hashem will delight in you. Hashem will delight in your well-being in the same way that he delighted, a beautiful phrase, sason, to rejoice. He will rejoice over you as he brings you back home. Last pasuk, ki tishma v'kol Hashem elokecha, for you will observe and listen to the words of Hashem, lishmor mitzvosav v'chukosav ha'kshuvah v'sefer ha'Torah hazeh. You will have repented and returned to Hashem. And so here Moshe gives us his beautiful last speech, one of his final speeches to us about the concept of tshuva, which he says will happen while you are in the exile. So he who comes to purify himself, Hashem will help. And from Shemayim, they give us the aid. That is our job, our task, to want it, to want to be close, to want to return, to want to have a clean, pure heart. And when we take those first steps, Hashem will help us out and move us along the way. We should all have a successful, beautiful, meaningful, uplifting Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, 10 days in between, to experience that clarity. We yearn and daven for the clarity that Rosh Hashanah should have, that experience of, this is who I want to be, this is what I want to be. And if we come with that clarity, with our uncircumcised hearts, with all of our desires and our lusts and our laziness and our not wanting to do this, that, and the other, and we stand there and say, no, but I want it. I want to be right and good and ethical and moral and to do all the right things, we'll be aided from Min HaShemayim, from the heaven, to achieve and arrive at this beautiful pasuk of Umal Hashem Elokecha, that Hashem should indeed then help us out and remove some of those distractions that we have, that we can serve him with a full heart in Eretz Yisrael. B'mheirav Yameinu, a wonderful Shabbos, a wonderful Yontif, a Shana Tova to all of you. A Ksiva V'chasima Tova, we should all be written and inscribed in good health and continue learning together for many years.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi.